thank again the Rosh Yeshivah for being here. We thanked him this morning before he started, but now we know what to thank for a little bit. And we're thankful for the opportunity for boys to ask more questions. Thank you for being in Eretz Yisrael in general, being mechazek here, and here in particular.
Thank you.
So we have a few questions that were already sent in. So the first question is, as people go on to YU in college and they eventually start working, what are the most important things to learn when their time is limited?
Got to be a Mavda Sedra every week. That's a Tarkanas Chachan. Shnayim Mikravecha Targum. Rashi Anchumish introduces you to the whole world of Torah Shebal Peh. Rashi Anchumish is fantastic. You should learn, if you can, you could do every year. You should do every year, Rashi. Chumash Rashi. But at least the first couple years, you should do all the Rashis, so you remember everything that Rashi has. Rashi is fantastic. Then you got to figure out how you're going to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. The Baal HaTanya, first Lubavitcher Rebbe, wrote his own Shulchan Aruch. They quote in the biographies that he said, if he goes to Olam Haba, it'll be for three things that he did, not for writing the Tanya, for writing the Shulchan Aruch, and another two things, but not for the Tanya. So the Shulchan Aruch of the Baal HaTanya, Mishnah Berurah quotes from every other page, he quotes from the Baal HaTanya Shulchan Aruch. So the whole Mishnah, the Shulchan Aruch of the Baal HaTanya, is like a Chayi Adam. Basically, he gives you the explanations, and he tells you the din is like the Mogan Avram, like the Taz, except for Hilchas Talmud Torah. He rewrote everything from scratch, Hilchas Talmud Torah and Yerbedeya, because in the Rambam, in the Shulchan Aruch, everything is written backwards. It's not written instead of saying who's Mechuyev, says who's not Mechuyev. Very strange. The Rambam and Shulchan Aruch. So he rewrote everything. And he rewrote, then he puts in a lot of interesting things. So he has one of the things he says is that every Jewish man is obligated to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. Then he asks, how is that humanly possible? The Gemara in Erevin comments on the Pasuk, Aruchah Me'eretz Mi, Derechovim Me'ne'yam. The Torah is so vast, it's impossible for anyone to master the whole Torah. So how can they say you're mechuyev to learn Kol HaTorah Kula? So he says, Aruchah Me'eretz Mi, Derechovim Me'ne'yam is on the Omek Havanas HaTorah, the depth of understanding. There's no limit. But he says, what is the text of Kol HaTorah Kula? That's not Aruchim. There's a text that can fit everything to fit into one bookcase here, even smaller than that. He says, Tanakh, believe it or not. Unfortunately, many people don't learn the Vayim Aksum, just Ma'av Sedra. They don't. There's a historical reason for that. The Maskilim took over the limud of Nevi'im Aksuvim and they gave their own interpretations, not in accordance with the traditions of the Torah Shebal Peh. That's why the Orthodox Jews ran away from learning Tanakh. There's a famous letter from Abel Yemei of Baruch Bloch. Abel Yemei Bloch founded the Telzi Yeshiva in Cleveland. So soon after Hakamas HaMedina, one of the early 1950s, one of the early years, so there was a joint Yom HaTzmaut observance that was sponsored together by the Mizrahi and the Aguda. And it was signed by Abel Yemeir Bloch and Mrs. Gifter. They wanted to invite men and women, everyone should come. So I live in Washington Heights, and one of the Yekas from Breuer sent a letter to Abel Yemeir Bloch, how can you co-sponsor a celebration of Yom HaTzmaut? We don't believe in Eretz Yisrael. So he sent him back a letter. I would have thrown in the garbage. He sent him back a whole letter explaining, what do you mean we don't believe in Eretz Yisrael? Zionism is Hachelag of HaTorah. The secular Zionists wanted to establish a Medina to take the place of the Torah. So we don't accept that. But Zionism, all the religious Jews ran away from Zionism because it was taken over by the secular Jews. But Zionism is part one of the 613 mitzvahs. And he says, Limud Nevi'im Uksuvim also was taken over by the Apikursim. He says, Limud Atar, we should take it back and learn Tanakh according to the traditions of the Torah Shebal Peh. And then he said, there are three things that the Orthodox Jews ran away from. Third one is the Daber B'loshan HaKodesh, that the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnah, on Pirkei Avos, on the Mishnah, Havizor B'mitzvah Kala Kala Chamura. So Ram gives an example. What's a mitzvah kala? The daber b'loshan hakodesh. And he quotes sources. When the child is able to talk, the father should teach him the daber b'loshan hakodesh. So because in the early 1900s, the groups of people who were interested in speaking Lashon HaKodesh were all Apikorsim. The religious Jews spoke Yiddish. They weren't interested. They ran away from Hebrew because Achad Ha'am and Mendel HaMechas, a whole bunch of Apikorsim, were insisting on speaking Hebrew, writing Hebrew, so that's why the Orthodox Jews ran away. They said we should take back these three things. They really belong to the Torah. Anyway, so what did I start? What am I talking about? I already forgot. It went off so far.
What someone should be learning when their time is limited.
Right. So you have to learn Tanakh. Okay. You should be Ma'aseh Sedra every week. That's a din. You should try the Ma'aseh Sedra with Rashi. Rashi's fantastic. You should do it a few years in a row so you'll pick up all the Rashi's. The Chasam Sefer wrote in his Tavor for his descendants, he wants them all to do Tanakh im Rashi, Chumash im Ramban. The Chasam Sefer very, very often quotes Ramban's Alatar in his Chubas, Halacha Lamaisa. He did a lot of work on Ramban's. Rav Soloveitchik also was very taken by the Ramban. Ramban Alatar, very, very strong. So you got to learn. So the Balatani says, what constitutes Kol HaTorah? That's what we love. What constitutes Kol HaTorah? So he says, Tanakh. Then he says, Mishnayis, Toseftas, Shivsos, Sifros, Sifrei Mechilta, Talmud Bavli, Yerushalmi, Rambam, and Shulchan Aruch. He said, this is the text of Kol HaTorah. You can put everything in a one bookcase, half the size of this bookcase. To fully understand everything, you need a whole library to see what everybody has to say. But everyone should try to cover at least once in his lifetime. Kol HaTorah Kula. People who have time should review everything, but those who don't have time, at least once in your lifetime, you should try to cover Kol HaTorah Kula. The Rishonim already said it's important to have Sifrei Musar, Sifrei Hashkofa. They wrote, some of the Rishonim wrote. I personally don't, I never enjoyed too much the Chavis Halvavis. Such a different style of writing. The translation and everything. It's so difficult. I never enjoyed it. Rabbeinu Yonah wrote to Shari Tshuva. I never really enjoyed that either. I only enjoyed the Mesillas Yesharim. Mesillas Yesharim, such a beautiful style, Hebrew. They quote the Vilna Gaon was so taken by the Mesillas Yesharim. He said, if the author would still be alive, he would be prepared to walk by foot to Italy to learn by him. I think he died at the age of 40. Ramchal died at the age of 40. He's fantastic. You have to learn a little Sifrei Musar. You have to learn Gemara. You have to go min hakala lakavod. You have to first learn the easy Gemaras, then you graduate, you go to the more difficult Gemaras. Whenever you learn Gemara, the Gemara is always full of machloikas. Every page, almost every page in Gemara is full of machloikas. So Rabbi Soloveitchik always used to say, whenever there's a machloikas, there are always 100 things that they agree about. And they disagree about one little point. So he always said, let's first concentrate on what they agree, then we'll understand what they're disagreeing. So we'd always give background. They always start from the Pasuk. What's the original Pasuk? What's the Pshutu Shal Mikra? What's the additional level of interpretation that the Torah Shabbat Peh gives to the Pasuk? And what are the different opinions? Now you have Encyclopedia Talmudic. Fantastic. They still have another 30 volumes to go, but they passed the letter Mem already. So they have a lot that's completed. Whenever you learn a Gemara and they quote a topic, it's kedai to look in the Encyclopedia to see what's the background. What's the topic all about? They'll tell you all the basic shittas. In the beginning, when they first were printing the encyclopedia, Sir Rav Zevin was the editor. He was only going to quote Tilach HaZanish, that's all. And Rav Zevin passed away a long time ago. And now they quote everybody under the sun. So all the essays are 20 times longer than they would have been. Rav Zevin would have been finished already with the whole encyclopedia. But it's under new management now. So they have long arichas on everything, but they quote everything. Encyclopedia is very good. If you just have a gemara, there's a machloikas, you don't know what's the background in the machloikas. You have to know what do they agree upon. Then you'll be able to place everything in the proper perspective. What point are they disagreeing about? You gotta learn all the gemaras. I remember we used to have two balabatim retired. They used to come to my daily shiur in the yeshiva. So one of them was a Yekke. His son has a big kollel in Yerushalayim, Fleischman. Very strong kollel, they learn Chashem Mishpat. And he used to work in the post office. And then the day he was able to retire, you could either retire at 60 or 65. He retired earlier with less pension, and he came to the yeshiva every day. He was 60, I think. He would learn with a boy who was 17, 18 years old every day. And he knew the kids of Shulchan Aruch, the yekis, they know. So I would give a whole shiur workout, a whole cheshbon. Therefore, the din should be like this. He would raise his hand. Kids of Shulchan Aruch says not so. Or he would say, it says in the kids of Shulchan Aruch. I worked so hard to come up, but it says in the kids of Shulchan Aruch. So he always followed the shiur. He always gave his running commentary, whether it's in agreement with the kids of Shulchan Aruch or disagreement. The other, the retired painter, he never said a word in class. So I didn't know whether he understood anything in the shiur. So one day I had to go home early after Minchan. I was going to come back later to learn in the Kailom. So we were walking together to the other side of the heights where we both lived. So he tells me, Rabbi Shechter, I don't understand one word. He came to the shiur for years. I don't understand one word yet you're talking about in the shiur. So what did he come for? He says, in the Polish army or the Russian army, I don't know, he said, you had to know the names of all the generals. And they would test you, you know. So he says, he comes to the shiur to hear the names of the generals. When he comes to the Olam HaEmes, they're going to ask him the names of the generals. So he says, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Lozman Azariah, the Rambam, the Ravid, the Rashba, the Ritva. He comes to hear the names of the generals. That's what he gets out of it. Usually in yeshiva, we don't pay attention to the names of the generals. We pay attention to what they said. In Europe, they used to learn Lishitosas. The Tana over here said the same as over there. We don't make Lishitos because we de-emphasize the significance of who's speaking. It's not right, but we are more interested in what he said rather than... You got to learn, you got to try to learn Kol HaTorah Kulo, but in a reasonable fashion. You're going to go too fast. It's going to go in one ear and out the other. You won't walk away. Just be left with the names of the generals. That's not too much. You go a little slower. Not everybody can do Daf Yomi. Other people do an Amud Yomi. So instead of finishing in 7.5 years, I'm finishing every 15 years. Okay. Half is fast. You have a whole lifetime ahead. You don't have to rush to do everything in 1 year. Should all be blessed with an Arichas Yamim and have time to learn slowly. And the margin in the Gemara is in order to write comments. If you come across a Gemara, a line of Rashi and Tesis, that's important. Underline it. Don't be embarrassed. Underline the line in Tesis and write things in the margin so you know it for next time. After no halacha lemaisa, you got to know Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Years ago, everybody used to read Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. I remember when I was in elementary school, we learned Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Then in high school, we graduated, and we did Chayyodom. Then 6 years after I was married, my wife bought me a Mishnah Berurah. My father didn't have any Mishnah Berurah. We learned Shulchan Aruch, so you learned from the Shulchan Aruch. Mishnah Berurah changed the Psak HaMekubal on every single page. He came up with these new Kisvei Yad that the Rishonim wrote that were lost for centuries. And he's changing the Psak Halacha based on the Meiris and based on the Maram Chalava, based on all the Rishonim. That's, the Chazon Ish wasn't happy about that. What did he change the Psak HaMekubal for? Those Rishonim went missing for so many centuries, so we figured out the din without them. Mishnah Berurah changed the Psak HaMekubal, but he got away with it because he was a holy tzaddik and interesting in history, interesting. I wouldn't recommend. Mishnah Berurah is very hard. If you don't know what it says in the Gemara, you're not going to understand the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah assumes everybody's in the middle of the sugya, and he's jumping into the middle of everything. Very hard. You got to do the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Spend 2-3 minutes every day. You'll be able to cover the whole Mishnah Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in 1 year. And then whenever you come across a din that you never heard of before, most of the dinim you probably know how to say Brachan Talos on Tefillin on Shabbos and Kashrus. Most of the dinim you know. Whenever you come across a din that kids never heard of before, so underline it. I put a check on that sif. So next year, when you do the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch again a second time, you won't have to read the whole thing. All of it you know already. So you'll just review it. It'll take you 1 minute every day just to look at the dinim that you never heard of before. So after you do Kitzur Shulchan Aruch a couple of years in a row, and you'll remember all the dinim. So then you can graduate and move on to the Chayyodim. Then maybe move on from that. Mishnah Berurah, I don't know. Mishnah Berurah is very hard. When you're learning Gemara Shabbos, then it's kedai to learn the Shulchan Aruch with the Gemara and then to see what the Mishnah Berurah adds on. You're learning Gemara brachas, so learn the Mishnah Shulchan Aruch, learn the Mishnah Berurah. What he adds on to the Gemara, it's like a Mishnah Berurah, it's like a pirish on the Gemara. So tell you what the maskana is, and it tell you a chidushim halacha lemaisim. But to sit and learn Mishnah Berurah, I don't think it really makes sense unless someone is teaching it, knows all the Gemaras, is giving it a whole background. But you can't understand Mishnah Berurah unless you know all the Gemaras. You have to pick a Musa Sefer that speaks to you. I enjoy the Masilas Hashem very much. Then you have to do Tanakh. Unfortunately, they cheated us. In the Chumash, they did teach, but the Vei Maksum, they taught very little. So we're missing a lot of that. All of Hashkaf is based on the Vei Maksum. How can you philosophize? You can philosophize for today till next year. You won't figure out anything about the way the Ribbono Shel Olam runs as well unless you learn the Vei Maksum. It's not Chumash, the Vei Maksum. What other swarm you have to know? That's it. Gemara with Tosfos. If you can ask someone who knows the Masechta already, the first time you learn the Masechta, you're not mechuyav to learn every Tosfos. So ask someone who knows Masechta to check off which are the important Tosfos. Sometimes Tosfos has the run through all of Shas to prove that there were two people with the same name or not the same person. So you can live without that Tosfos. The first time, second time also. You don't have to go through all that Tosfos. A lot of times Tosfos has, there's a mistake in Girsa and the Gemara Tosfos proves that it's wrong. It's wrong, so don't spend time on it. First time you don't have to read that Tosfos. The first time you learn a Masechta, ask someone which are the important Tosfos and you should do. There were yeshivas in Europe for years where they're learning Gemara Rashi and the Rosh. They didn't learn Tosfos because the Rosh gives you the synopsis of what Tosfos says. He gives you halacha l'maisa, what did Tosfos say? So he leaves out all the Tosfos that are not relevant halacha l'maisa, and he emphasizes more the sheet and Tosfos that was accepted, and he brings raya's halacha l'maisa. So there were yeshivas where they learned Gemara, Rashi, and the Rosh. Rav Soloveitchik, when he gave Shem, was never interested in reading all the Rishon. He's going to try to read all the Rishon, he won't get to base on the base. He won't cover any ground. He was only interested in Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, and the Rambam. That's all. Because we have these three, Rashi, Tosfos, and Rambam, we have on all of Shas. And there are always contradictions in the Gemara, and all the Rishonim work on the contradictions. So you only have a Yad Rabbah and one Masechta, you don't know how does he deal with the other Gemara. You're not going to know the whole Pshat. So Rashi, Tosfos, and the Rambam, you have on all of Shas. Whenever there's a Tosfos, and they tell you to look at another Masechta, you should always look up the other Gemara. You should always look up the Tosfos on the other Daf. Maybe there's a different Girsa, maybe there's a different Pshat in the Gemara. Whatever you do for a living, you have to learn for the rest of your life. Learning is not only the obligation to learn is not only restricted to your years as a student. The Jewish people always learn. The Rambam says whether you're healthy or sick, whether you're young or old, whether you're wealthy or poor, every Jewish man has an obligation to learn till the day that he dies. You have an obligation to learn. We are known as the Am HaSefer. The Goyim call the Jews the Am HaSefer. The Jews are the nation, the people of the book. They're always reading the Torah. Always studying. Everyone has not only if you're in the rabbinate or if you're in chinuch, everyone has an obligation to learn. There are many doctors, lawyers, and engineers who know how to learn better than the rabbis and yeshiva. They just don't have the personality to be a rabbi or a rabbi. And they shouldn't. They shouldn't. If it's not for them, they shouldn't. The Gemara has an agarata in the first parak in Chagiga that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheds three tears every day, not to be taken literally, doesn't have a body, doesn't have any tears. He's upset about three different things. Two of the three things that he is upset about are those who belong to learning went to a secular field, those who belong to the secular field went into learning. It's a tragedy if a person is misplaced. People, a lot of times, the parents are afraid that the children should go into the rabbinate. An Orthodox rabbi doesn't make a living. That was years ago. My father was an Orthodox rabbi, he didn't make a living. Bekoshi, he made a living. He did make a decent living. But today, people of Chinuch and Rabbanis do make a living. You don't have to be the Gadol HaDor to teach. We need people teaching in Chinuch on every level. We need elementary level. There are some people who are fantastic rabbis, third grade rabbi, fourth grade rabbi. The more you learn, the more successful you'll be in teaching the ABC of the Jewish religion. We need people in the rabbinate, in the chinuch, on all levels. I remember when I was getting smicha, they used to have a goyrel in the yeshiva. They used to have a lottery at the end of your smicha program. Who's going to have to go to the chaplaincy? For many years, only the Reform and the Conservatives supplied chaplains in the army, because it's not easy to keep kosher and Shabbos, even if you're a chaplain in the American army. Not so easy. It's difficult. So the Orthodox never were interested in being chaplains. So Dr. Belkin and the administration, they felt it's not right. So they used to have a girl, they used to have a lottery. So all the boys who were getting smicha the same year had to have a lottery. Whoever picked the lower numbers, 1, 2, 3, they had to go to the chaplain. If you wouldn't go, they wouldn't give you smicha, they wouldn't let you continue in any graduate school. Some of the boys were in the graduate school for mathematics or physics, other graduate schools, parts of yeshiva, they wouldn't. And if you go to any other university in America, they would send a letter to the university, don't take the student because he didn't live up to his obligations at our university. And they ruined a lot of boys' lives. I had a friend of mine, I had to run to Australia. He wanted to go in mathematics. He couldn't go anywhere in America because they blacklisted him. So he had to go to Australia, and he got married, and he got divorced. They ruined his whole life because of that. So I remember when they had the lottery, and everybody picked the number, so I felt insulted in my heart. There was another boy who was getting smicha the same time as me. He couldn't read Rashi script. How can he get smicha? The Taz and the Shach are all printed in Rashi script. I don't understand how in the world he got smicha. So I was angry in my heart. How can they put me together with him in the same goyro? This guy doesn't know anything. He didn't know anything. Neither of us was a lucky winner. Neither of us had to go to the chaplaincy. He got a rabbinical position somewhere in the south, but the Balabatim didn't know anything. He convinced two or three families to become Shomer Shabbos. He convinced 2 or 3 boys from other families to go to Yeshiva College. He made them into Bnei Torah. He called up New York. He asked the OU, how do you make a kosher bakery? How do you make sure you mafresh challah? Then years later, he called up the OU, how do you make a kosher butcher shop? He introduced kashrus in his community. And then after 25 years, I realized he accomplished more for Judaism than I did. I was giving shiurim to the boys who were committed. They're going to be shomer Shabbos, they're going to wear tefillin, they're going to learn anyway. They would have learned by another Rebbe, so I gave a little better shiur than them. This guy got people. Remember, Rabbi Soloveitchik always used to speak at the Chag HaSmicha. After 2-3 years, they had a whole group of boys getting smicha, so they have a whole celebration. Dr. Belkin officially was the Rosh Hashiva, so he would talk. He always had very good ideas, but he wasn't a good public speaker. Not in Yiddish, not in English. So he would speak briefly, then he would introduce Rabbi Soloveitchik. Rabbi Soloveitchik would always give the major address at the Chag HaSmicha. So I remember more than once he said, the rabbis shouldn't develop a messiah complex, that they should think they're saving the whole world, and therefore they can cut corners over here and there because they're saving the whole world. He said, if you convince 2 or 3 families to become Shomer Shabbos, you have accomplished a lot. If you convince a few students to go to Yeshiva College, you have accomplished a lot. This guy accomplished a lot. He convinced a few families to become Shomer Shabbos, convinced a few boys to go to Yeshiva, and he has now, those people are Bnei Torah, and their children, their grandchildren, great-grandchildren. They're all Bnei Torah now. There's a lot, whatever level you're on, you can function in Chinuch or Rabbanus if you cut out for it. If you're not cut out, it's not a good idea. Don't go into Chinuch. But if you cut out for it, we need you. There's a big lack of people in Chinuch. Years ago, there would be 25 applicants for every job in Chinuch. Now no one wants to go into Chinuch. It's very rewarding. I have a big sipuk nefesh whenever I give a shiur. And the students understand. I come here. I have a sipuk nefesh when I teach Torah. And I have 9 children. My children were the best dressed in the neighborhood. I didn't make as much as the other guys. I give a lot of money to tzedakah. I make way more than I need. I don't need all that money. I give a fortune of money to tzedakah. So whoever can go into Chinuch Rabbanus, you should discuss it with your rabbeim, whether they think you're a good candidate. You shouldn't reject it out of hand. It's a possibility you can be very successful in Chinuch HaRabbanus, whatever level you're on. There's a shul or a school that needs you, whatever level you're on. Anyway, everyone has to continue learning all of their lifetime, every single day. The Rama writes, whether you're wealthy or poor, whether you're healthy or sick, whether you're young or old, even after the years that you graduated graduate school, you're no longer a student. The Jewish people have to learn Torah. The Jews were always the founders of all the universities in Europe, in Italy. The Jews used to found the medical school. The Jews used to teach in the medical school. They were Rabbanim. I think the chief rabbi of, not of Italy, of Rome, I think the chief rabbi is a doctor. The last time I was there. Chief rabbi is a rabbi, and he's a doctor in the hospital. He went to medical school. But there used to be a generation where the rabbis founded the medical schools and the rabbis taught in the medical schools. Jews were always in the forefront of education for everything. All the universities in America, they're all supported by Jews. Now they realize how much anti-Semitism is, and now they're pulling back on the support. One of the wealthy Balavatim, who was considering giving a fortune of money to Harvard after the whole disaster with the president of Harvard, instead of giving the money to Harvard, he sponsored 50 people to come there. It's he saw during intercession. He paid for their trips. He realized that he should put his money into the Jewish people instead of giving it to Harvard. Okay.
We recently heard someone mention that one living in Chutz La'aretz is living a bidyavid life. Is there everything that this is true?
In a certain sense, it is true. The Ramban writes in his commentary on Chumash, and it would appear the Rambam seems to not to disagree that the Ikar Mokum for Shmiras HaMitzvah really in Eretz Yisrael. Any mitzvah that you do in Chutz La'aretz, if you would do the exact same mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael, it's considered more enhanced. It's a mitzvah Bishlei Musa. Many commentaries, the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam thinks that's a separate mitzvah. So the commentaries discussed, how come the Rambam didn't count that mitzvah living in Eretz Yisrael? So some write, the Rambam thinks the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael was only Hayrosha on the days of Yeshua ben Nun. That's very difficult. The Pashta said that it's not correct. The Rambam quotes all the dinim, supposed to live in Eretz Yisrael. So many say, the Rambam thinks like the Rambam. Many in the Forshim on the Sefer Mitzvah, they think that the Rambam agrees with the Rambam, that the Ikar Mokum for Shmiras Kol HaMitzvahs is really in Eretz Yisrael. So it's like living in Eretz Yisrael is a detail within each one of the 613 mitzvahs. Mitzvahs, more Bishlei Musa, if you fulfill it in Eretz Yisrael. In that sense, living in a Chutz La'aretz is b'nei'eved, yeah. Because if you all the mitzvahs that you do will be more Bishlei Musa if you do them in Eretz Yisrael. I think they say that Rav Nevin's son, Houston, now he's an older person. It's hard time for travel. Years ago, he used to go once in a while to a wedding in Chutz La'aretz or something like that. So if he had a choice to daven mincha in Eretz Yisrael or Chutz La'aretz, let's say he was going to come to Eretz Yisrael 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So instead of davening mincha in Chutz La'aretz before the trip, he would daven mincha when he comes to the airport in Eretz Yisrael. Or you say Kiddush Levana. So you have a whole half a month to say Kiddush Levana. So if he had a choice to say Kiddush Levana, Chutz La'aretz or in Eretz Yisrael, he would try to arrange it that he should do the mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael. I think it's a proper cheshbon. Every mitzvah that you do in Eretz Yisrael is more Bishlei Musa. Correct? I think so.
Do you have to put on tefillin again?
Yeah, the Gemara says whenever you put on tefillin many times in the same day, you say bracha the second time, even though you were yotzei the first time. It's machlokes, and we paskin tefillin kalei meseshem menicham levracha aleim. Every time you say bracha, yes.
How does a posik or an individual decide when to change a minhag or apply a chumrah?
To change a minhag, if it's a minhag b'toyas, then you have to change it. In every generation, the rabbanim have to decide whether the minhagim that are prevalent are minhag b'toyas or not. Rabbi Soloveitchik was a big stickler for minhagim, but some minhagim he thought were b'toyas, so you shouldn't follow them. The minhagim that are not b'toyas, let's say, the Chazon Ish was never a functioning rabbi. So he always, the Chazon Ish and his brother-in-law, the Steipeler, they were never acting like rabbis. So every year before Pesach, they would ask the rabbi to sell the chametz for them. So the minhag all over is when you appoint the rabbi as a shlich to sell the chametz for you, the rabbi makes a kinyan. What are you making a kinyan over? You're not selling the chametz to the rabbi. You're making a kinyan when you appoint him as a shlich. So the Rambam says that's nonsense, you don't accomplish anything. So the Chazon Ish with his brother-in-law, they didn't do it. They held this in minhag shtus. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, no, but the Rambam explains why you do it. First, the Rambam says it accomplishes nothing. We have a meaning when a man divorces his wife, like de shliach, shliach makes a kinyan with the husband. The husband gives him over the power to act as his representative, to act as his shliach. So the Rambam says there's no need for the kinyan; it doesn't accomplish anything. But then the Rambam does knock sense into it. So they say that the Rambam does make sense out of it. He was a big stickler for that Ominhagen. He was a big stickler on Ominhagen. So he used to say, not correct what the Chazon Ish, not correct. The Rambam does explain it. And every 2 years, Rabbi Soloveitchik would always give this whole shir about Kinyan Chalipin, what Kinyan Suda is all about. Now, part of the shir would be why it does make sense to make a Kinyan when you appoint a shliach to give a get for you and so on. It's interesting. One of the people who is very close to the Chazon Ish, his name is Soroya Develitsky. He's not alive. He passed away a long time ago. So he was Chazanishnik. He put out a luach with all the minhagim. So in his luach, he quotes Rabbi Soloveitchik said what the meaning was. Chazanishnik quotes Rabbi Soloveitchik because all the people from Lithuania died, were killed in the war, they died. And the only one who said ever what the meaning was Rabbi Soloveitchik. So he was honest. He quotes Rabbi Soloveitchik from Boston and America said, and he says what the meaning was about the Haftarah of Achimos Kedoshim. Which Haftarah, he said? You got to know, he was a big stickler on Minhagim. As a child, he was always curious to find out what are the Minhagim and what are they based on, who observes it, who doesn't observe it. So he spent a lot of his shiurim were dedicated to explaining Minhagim with halachic sources to explain why the Minhagim are so important. He used to do a lot of work on Minhagim. So if he thought it's a Minhag Shtus, he wouldn't do it. But if he thought it's a reasonable minute, then you have to do it. So it has to be makbid about the minhagim. They have a generation. The rabbanim have to decide whether they think that the minhagim are reasonable or unreasonable. Unreasonable, so you discontinue it. Chumras. We have too many chumras. We could live without all the chumras. Chumras should be personal things. If a person is a big medakta kemitzus, so then it makes sense he should have a chumra here and there. Most people are not so medaktik in all the mitzvahs. It's a mashal ma'adavadayma. Let's say a woman is dressed up nicely with a nice dress, a nice gown, so she'll put on jewelry also. Let's say a woman is wearing her pajamas, so she's going to put on jewelry. It'll look ridiculous. If you have a fancy dress, then you wear jewelry. It's something. If you're not wearing a fancy dress, it looks silly. It doesn't enhance your looks. So chumras of a people are tzaddikim, they observe all the dinim. So you have to throw a chumra here and there. That's like jewelry in addition. The Gemara has that mashal in Gemara Saita. We live in a generation, people, they talk Lashon Hara, they're not so careful about this. All of a sudden, a chumra in the middle of nowhere. It doesn't fit the rest of his personality. Unusual tzaddikim, so let them observe chumras. Chumras are not for everybody.
We have time for one more question.
Anyone want to ask one more quick question?
I was wondering if Rosh Hashiva and Amir's time learning felt like very discouraged to learn, or felt like time of like Hester Pana of the sort, and if Rosh Hashiva did feel that way, what was any chizuk that kind of got him back on track or got him back into the Beis Midrash?
Hester Pana. We have a lot of Hester Panim now. We have a lot of Hester Panim. The Second World War was a tremendous Hester Panim. They killed millions and millions and millions of Jews. They killed a lot of Jews. We have over the generation, Moshe Rabbeinu and all the prophets were wondering, what do Adar Chishoim Solecha? How come you find Tzadik Verala, Rosh HaBetovla? We don't understand. Rav Shalom said, someday in the future, he'll be able to explain to us that Kol Ma'adav Rachman Letavo, everything was Letavo. We have the perception that a lot of tragedies are occurring. They're killing so many Jews now, and every day they kill tzaddikim, unusual tzaddikim, the best that we ever had. This is the kasha we had for centuries. Rav Shalom says, after all of history will be unraveled, we'll be able to look back in retrospect. After all of history will be unraveled, then we'll realize that everything was Lutayva. But right now, as we're living through everything, it looks like they have these murderous kashas. We don't understand. If God is in full control of everything in the world, and there's only one God, there's not a God of good, a God of evil, a God of night, a God of light, daytime, nighttime. There's one God in charge of everything, one in control of everything. And he knows what's happening, and he cares, and he has the ability to intervene. So how in the world does he allow such tragedies to occur? So that's Akashu. If we believe in all the Ikra Emunim, there's one God, and there's Yediyah, he knows everything that's happening, and he has full control. So how does he allow all these things to happen? So that's Akashu. That's what he said. He can't explain it to us now. But he says, Achara, after all of history will be unraveled, we'll be able to understand everything was L'Tayu. When you recite a bracha, you have to say the text of the bracha should correspond to the perception. And when a tragedy occurs, you say, Baruch Dayinu Emes. When something wonderful happens, you say, Baruch HaToiv HaMeitiv. But the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, the bracha is Kishem Shem Mevorcham Al HaToiv Kach Mevorcham Al HaRuah. The Gemara says, what do you mean Kishem? It's not the same. You say a different bracha. Well, so Kishem means you're supposed to say the bracha. Baruch Dayinu Emes B'Simcha. How can you say the bracha B'Simcha? So it's very hard. And then when I was a little boy, before Bar Mitzvah, my father bought the Tunos HaMusa came out at that time. Tunos HaMusa is fantastic. So my father liked it so much, he told me I should read it also. So I read it. So they have there among this, has a lot of stories, very valuable, set Tunos HaMusa. There's a story when the Slobodka Yeshiva heard that the Polish government may be drafting everybody into the army. That'll be the end of the Yeshiva. So half the yeshiva moved to Eretz Yisrael. And they went to Hebron. They went to, they learned the Hebron yeshiva. Then there was a massacre. In Hebron there was a massacre on an Erev Shabbos. Mazel was that most of the students were not there. Most of the students went to Petach Tikva for Shabbos because there's an Eifruf. One of the boys was going to get married. But they killed a lot of Jews in the massacre. So in the Chevron Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, there was a tragedy. The son of one of the Rosh Yeshiva died at a young age. He was early 20s, very promising Talmid Chacham. I think he was engaged to get married. It was a tragedy. So they announced that the funeral will take place tomorrow. They said, what time? So they came, all the people came to the funeral, and the father of the boy who died came an hour late to his son's funeral. They couldn't understand the Balei Musa. Slobodka was a Musa yeshiva. They were so makbid, I'm not coming late. I'm not wasting other people's time. He came an hour late to his son's funeral. They didn't understand it. So they didn't have the courage to ask him till towards the end of the yeshiva. Somebody sort of hinted to him, how come he came late to his own son's funeral? It doesn't make any sense. So he said, the din requires he should say HaTeiv HaMeit. The din requires he should say Baruch Dayinu Emes B'Simcha. And he couldn't get himself to say the bracha B'Simcha. He kept on reviewing in his mind, Kol Madavi Rachmana L'Tavavin, whatever the Baruch Hashem does is L'Tavavin. And he didn't believe it. His son just died. How can it be L'Tavavin? Some of the people here, their sons were killed in battle. They're unbelievable. I got to be Menachem Avil by people I don't know at all. They're talking about their sons. What a tzaddik. You would think they'd be crying. That they're so convinced that their son is in Gan Eden. Unbelievable. People have such emunah. I want to be Menachem Ovo by one father. The father was telling me how wonderful this was. I started to cry. So the father grabbed hold of me. I shouldn't cry. I came to be Mechazikim. He's telling me I shouldn't cry. Unbelievable that people have such emunah and such chizuk. Yeah, but that's that kasha we used to. Sarek Ra'ala Rosh HaMatolah. We used to that kasha. We went through the Shoah. I was born in the middle of the Second World War. That was tremendous. That was unbelievable. The Nazis killed so many. These people were worse than the Nazis. The Shoah that they did was worse, even. Nazis never did the atrocities that these people did. But we're used to that, all the generation. We know there's such a thing, Tzarek Ra'ala Rosh. Some, they will understand that everything was L'Tayva. Yeah. You people are going to be the leaders of the next generation. You're going to have to pass kashrus that we never dealt with before. You got to pay attention to every Gemara. All the answers appear in the Gemara. We usually skim over the Gemaras that we think are not too relevant. When you read Mishnah Berurah, you skim over here and there, you skim over a lot. But all the answers are there. Remember, after the Yom Kippur War, the year after, Rabbi Schlesinger at that time was he was the founding Rosh Yeshiva in Shalavim, and he was still Rosh Yeshiva then. So he invited all the boys who were in the Hesder during the Mechamed Yom Kippur to come to the Yeshiva the next year, Chalamayt Sukkos, and to write down all the shailas that they had. Five people in the cave, five people out of the cave, are they mitzarfim for a minyan? Can they blow shofar in the cave, out the cave? There are a lot of shailas. And he said they spent, I think, a whole day together. He said 85% of the shailas were black and white in the Mishnah Berurah. But we always skim over the Mishnah Berurah, so we don't read everything. And a lot of the answers appear in the Gemara, but we don't pay attention to all the Gemaras. We skim over, we don't think this is never going to come up in 1,000 years. And everything Tosis has like that. The beginning of Ksuba is about what's called Stimus HaGolo. So Tosis argues with Rashi. So they say, according to Rashi, that the Golo is the lid on the coffin. Hakhnemar talk about using a live animal for a Golo. Which Meshugan is going to bury someone and put a live animal on top of the lid of the coffin? Is he crazy? Tosis said, that's not a kasha against Rashi. The style of the Gemara, the Talmud always talks about cases that are never going to come up in 1,000 years. But the Gemara wants to know exactly what's the din. So Tosef proves it from the Gemara that now they do it Maisim B'chol Yom. They take an embryo from one cow and they put the embryo into the rechem of a different cow. Tosef says, it's not going to happen in 1,000,000 years, but the Gemara wants to know. And now they do it Maisim B'chol Yom. That's how they make sure that they want to have a vlad that's going to be healthy. So they take the uber from one rechem, they put into another rechem. So all these Gemaras, they're going to have all the answers to the new shailas that are going to come up. You got to pay attention in your years in the yeshiva. These are the best years of your life. There's a certain professor, he lives in New Jersey, and he's a professor of Jewish studies in Scranton University in Pennsylvania. So he once told me, once drove me home from a shir, so he once told me when he was learning in Eretz Yisrael between high school and college, they were trying to convince me he should go to yeshiva college, and Bishum Arfin, he didn't want to go. He's going to go to the Ivy League universities. And he went on, he went, and he knows how to read Rishonim and get out history from them. But he says he doesn't know how to learn. He says those were the best years of his life. If he would have gone to yeshiva, any yeshiva, would have gone to yeshiva, he would know how to learn. Now he says he'll never know how to learn. He knows how to dig out from the Tshuvas of Rashba history, but he doesn't know how to dig out the reading of the Gemara, the Sugya. You shouldn't cheat yourselves. These are the best years of your life, you have to. Whatever you're going to do for a living, you can be a Talmid Chacham at the same time. Learn up a storm. Read Klalis on these, a lot of big Talmid Chachamim. And as I said before, there are doctors and lawyers and engineers who know how to learn better than the rabbis in the yeshiva. A lot of them give a weekly shir. Twice a week they give a shir. Give a shir in your community, even if you're not cut out for Chinuch HaRabban. Many of you are cut out for Chinuch HaRabbanus. We need a lot of people in Chinuch HaRabbanus, and everyone should learn. Learning for everybody. Have atzlocha. Have atzlocha in Shiduchim. Have atzlocha in everything. Okay.